Hi, everyone. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits into Health. This podcast is all about helping you create your own personal and unique habit change plan, and you'll get the chance to practice the Habits into Health approach that encourages you to draw on your bodily experience to help shape your changes. I call this letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. And we also share other sources because my goal is to give you more choices in changing problem habits and behaviors and enhancing the recovery that you've already achieved as well. In this episode, we're going to talk about sandbagging as a factor in anger. This is part 4 of a conversation about the A in HALT. This acronym, H-A-L-T, is a reminder to not get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Sustaining the changes you're attempting to make includes managing the challenges of everyday life, right? But old ways can sneak in, especially if we don't take care of ourselves. You want to build your ability to recognize the signs of relapse, however you define this for you. An important part of recognizing your own signals is literal, and this is why we start with an experiential exercise so that you can practice attuning to yourself in a sensory way. Let's take a few moments for this. Just take a deep breath. In and out. That's right. You can just take a deep breath. You can do this while you're walking. You can do this while you're driving. Just take a deep breath. And as you do this, notice the movement that happens as you breathe. There might be some obvious movement, like perhaps the movement of your chest. But there might also be other movements that you're not so aware of. If you're sitting, for instance, just notice the movement that happens in your back. You could notice the movement in your back against the chair. You might even notice the movement in your nose as you breathe in, or your mouth as you breathe out. Just notice this breathing. It's not just about taking in air and releasing air. There's also pulsation and movement. And the slower that you breathe, the deeper that you breathe, the more that you move. Take a deep breath. Then just notice. Sometimes just attuning to yourself physically takes only a moment or two. Doesn't have to be a long exercise. Just like this, it could be just taking a deep breath and really appreciating it, taking it in. Now, if you want to hear more of the Habits and Health perspective, or if you want to experience more of these kind of exercises, some of which are longer, some of which are about the same length, just a minute or two, you can listen to other episodes of this program by going to habitsintohealth.com and just click on the podcast menu. There are also other links on the website where you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, on Twitter, and other online communities. Today we're going to continue in the series about the anger in HALT. HALT is, remember, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And the last few episodes, I've been focusing on the A, anger. And it's a really good maxim to follow because slipping into these states, well, it just often leads to repeating those habits that we want to say goodbye to. So in this episode, we're going to talk about an aspect of the anger in HALT that in psychotherapy has been called sandbagging. And that's about a behavior that's tied to the buildup of resentment. A sandbag can be literal. We usually hear of it when bags of sand are used to shore up the banks of a river to prevent flooding, for instance. Originally, as far as I can tell in my research, a sandbag was used in the Middle Ages during war, and it was used to protect or fortify one's position or as a weapon to throw at the enemy. Today, in sports like golf or wrestling, or even in business, the term sandbagging refers to deceiving your opponent or the competition by pretending to be weaker than you are. In psychology, sandbagging is a little bit of all of these. First, it's a behavior that we do, usually without awareness, to protect ourselves. Or rather, we think it's a protection. But actually, the behavior ends up becoming a weapon, something that's thrown in surprise against another person, as if that other person was an enemy. Sandbagging isn't pretty. It comes from pain, and it causes suffering. And unfortunately, it's pretty common. It happens when we take little irritants and bothers, and instead of dealing with these feelings in the present or as soon as possible, we keep them to ourselves. We minimize and tell ourselves that we'll set our anger aside, that it'll go away, that we'll get over it. And maybe we do this to avoid conflict with a specific person, or maybe our habit is to avoid conflict altogether. This is the protection part of sandbagging, and many of us learn to do this. So if this sounds familiar, well, just know that you're not alone. And it rarely works. Until we learn about sandbagging and how to deal with it, what happens is we collect these little bits of anger, irritation, bother, frustration, and we store them like sand in a bag that we carry around. And at first, the bag is not very heavy. But over time, this changes. It's a lot of work carrying around the sandbag, heavy as it is, with little bits of emotional baggage here and there. And then, at a certain point in time, things tip over. Usually an external event combines with the internal pressure that we've been building up. And when that happens, whether the situation that's happening right now has anything to do with what we've been carrying, we dump it all. We lighten our load, and we throw the sandbag all at once. We may create a fight to discharge the pressure. Or in the midst of an argument, we'll throw out things that happened months or even years ago. And yeah, the person we dump it on may have done something that irritated us. But a lot of the time, they are only a small amount of the sand in that bag. And it was just their luck that on this particular day, we throw it out, we make them pay. It's an old and familiar story. The boss yells at the employee comes home and yells at the spouse slaps the kid, and the kid kicks the dog. Now, who knows? Maybe the boss just got bad news from their chief financial officer. Maybe your husband had just asked for a divorce. Who knows? Maybe the employee was responsible for some of the bad news. But it's just as possible that he stepped into the line of fire without any fault. Maybe the kid was oppositional. And perhaps the dog did dump on the carpet. But most of the time, our acting out behaviors never quite match up. It's not an excuse to act out. Have you ever been in any of these places? Have you been the boss? Have you been the employee or the spouse, the kid? Maybe you end up feeling a lot like you're the dog that got kicked in the end. Do you recognize the ways that you carry around your anger, however small it is? When we store our resentments and then throw it at people, the situations and experiences that we didn't deal with before are discharged in a single direction at one time. When you sandbag, the punishment you wreak may fit the injury you experienced 6 months or 6 years ago. What are the chances that it fits for what the person on the receiving end has done in this moment, this time? And if you've been on the receiving end, experiencing someone else throwing resentments towards you, well, you could be at risk for building up your own feelings about this. What to do about this? Well, I think it's important to understand that there are no magic bullets, but there are some steps you can take to reduce any inclination you have to sandbag your resentments and act them out. If you've been the recipient of someone else's behavior, you can also take these steps to prevent yourself from building up your own feelings in the same way and throwing it back at them. First, before you address your anger with someone else, halt. Consider the consequences of what you're going to say, and then consider your options. There is a difference between attending to yourself and what you're upset about, and sandbagging, which involves denial that you're upset at all. The opposite of sandbagging, which is reactively spouting off about everything, isn't productive behavior either. So you don't want to be on either end of the continuum. Second, learn to recognize your signals when anger is at its smallest level. And if you can use your body signals, all the better. That might mean recognizing the signs of tension in you physically. A tightness in your shoulders, say, or pressure in your gut. If you notice that you're preoccupied, then bring your attention to your head. Are you frowning? Pressuring yourself around your temples? Tensing in your jaw, for instance? The Habits into Health experiential exercises are practice in this kind of attunement. To acknowledge when you're irritated or bothered or frustrated, first to yourself so you don't minimize it, is an important initial step. Don't pretend that it's going to go away all by itself. You can come to terms with it, but not by pretending it's not there. Third, create some space for yourself. And it can look like some of these examples. First, journaling. Taking time to write things down can help you sort things out. If that's not your cup of tea, how about meditating? This practice can quiet your energy and give you perspective. Or physical activity. As long as you aren't doing it to avoid dealing with your feelings, exercise is a great way to redirect your energy. And then talking. It might be helpful to talk things through with someone you trust who will not take sides. This could be a friend, or better yet, it could be a priest, a rabbi, or a minister, or it could be a professional, such as a counselor or a psychotherapist. We're trained to support you in managing anger and feelings of all kinds. I hope that you can see how HALT is such a great guideline, because it can slow you down before you do or say something you'll regret. When it comes to anger, halting means being attentive to your anger and addressing it sooner. Talking with someone who's done or said something that bothers you is so much easier than dealing with it when you've built up so much anger that you can't manage it. Now, I realize this is only a small exploration of a self-caring way that you can support yourself in stabilizing your habit change. And in other shows, we'll continue to explore ways that you can create your plan for changing a habit, sustaining new behaviors, and growing yourself into your best future. In Habits into Health, I'm attempting to focus on giving you more choices and making the changes you want to make regardless of the habit that you're dealing with. You can bring your questions and comments to habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.